Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, I have a very special guest. Her name is Rose Rock, and she is author of Mama Rock's Rules, 10 Lessons for Raising a Houseful of Successful Children. Rose, a child advocate, educator, and mother of 10-plus children, including comedian Chris Rock, shares her heartfelt and no-nonsense advice on parenting. Uber mom Rose Rock raised 10 children and 17 foster children. She did it by never shying away from hard conversations and by not being afraid to present strong ideas about boundaries, discipline, choices, and consequences. In short, Rose Rock tells it like it is. In Mama Rock's Rules, Rose shares the funny and highly practical lessons she learned both as a parent and as an educator, while offering strategies for teaching children to be self-reliant. Her advice, delivered with a dose of wit and homespun humor, will inspire you to teach your kids right, whether your brood is 1 or 10. Rose's book is available from Amazon.com, and I do have a direct link to her book there in the show page description. So with that, I would like to welcome Rose to the show. Good day, Rose. Thank you for joining me today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Well, it is truly my pleasure, and I have to say I laughed a lot when I read your book. It was really funny, and you really did. It was no holds barred at all.
Yeah, I'm kind of known for that. As my daughter says, my mother does not filter it. And I said, not at all. Not at all.
That's good. Well, you know, we could certainly use a lot more of that honest discussion going on, for sure. Now, for as far as this book, how would you describe the book? Is it a handbook, a teaching tool?
You know what? When I started this book, I really had no description for the book other than the fact that everyone wanted to know how I had raised my children to be who and what they are. What did it take to do that? Because I raised them in New York, in Bed-Stuy, in the middle of, a neighborhood that was not considered the nicest. And the thing I said was a lot of love and a lot of rules. So it started out just to give people the rules that I used, and it actually grew into the book that it did. So I never, ever had a description, but I've heard it described over and over as the parenting Bible. So I love that. I love that description.
It is a good one. It fits because you have so many tips in there, truly. I mean, when I went through and prepared for today's show, I really had difficulty narrowing it down. I was like, oh, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about that. You know, it's like, oh, I don't have enough time. So for those of you listeners, I mean, it truly is. And it's easy reading. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, you can pick it up, read a section. You know, if you're a parent, you know, a lot of times, you know, time is, you know, valuable. And with kids especially, you're constantly interrupted. So it's really nice to be able to have something like your book where you can read a small section, get the tips that you need to know, and then kind of, you know, move on and do what you have to do for the rest of the day.
Right. And, you know, the thing was, I didn't want to do statistics, and I didn't want to make it science fiction, like, you know, 10-point whatever does this, and this psychiatrist says that. I wanted to do it because one of the things is we're born with instinct. God gives mothers certain instincts, and most of it is just common sense, instinct, and mother wit.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
Those are the things that you need. And also, a big heart.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, you know, as we go through, you know, that was the one thing that I really liked about your book and your approach, you know, to child raising is that, you know, throughout, even though you had Mama Rock's rules, you know, but they were done with love. You know, they were done for, you know, for guidance and discipline and ultimately, you know, for the best of the child.
Right, because one of the things about discipline, discipline is to teach, not to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to, you know, draw your line on how you discipline, but you have to be consistent.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, one of the things, I want to talk just a little bit about the structure of the book, a couple more things that you had in there. And then for you listeners, I'm going to go ahead and you know, talk about a couple of the chapters and maybe a couple of comments. And feel free to, you know, tell as many stories as you want. Because, you know, that's the one thing is I know is that, I mean, over the years with, you know, 10 children and 17 foster children, I mean, they would probably have stories for days that you could talk about.
Oh, we could not cover.
Not at all, I'm sure. Well, one of the things that I liked is that throughout the book, you have little tidbits called Mama's Mojo. And so would you mind explaining to the listeners what Mama's Mojo is?
Well, the Mama's Mojo is just breaking down what the chapter said and just telling you exactly how we accomplish whatever we're trying to accomplish, or to tell you how to deal with whatever that chapter really, if it's doing the dinner, which is so important, and people have gotten away from that. The mojo is just like the breakdown of the chapter and our
okay.
little tidbits, like this is what I really did.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I found that section and toward the end of many of the chapters you have like a recap called Mama Rock's Rules and Strategies. You know, those seem
yeah.
to be kind of that recapped what each of the chapters was about. And in each of the chapters, you got wonderful stories. Now, also, you have comments from your kids kind of spattered throughout the book. That must have been interesting, getting their feedback on various chapters.
But you know what was great about that is that most of the stuff they said was all new to me because, you know, my neighbor's son, that he stayed with us so much, he had a bed at my house. Well, he said that one of the things that I did whenever they got bored, I would say, go get a book. And I remembered that, but I didn't know that it had shaped him in the way it did when we were talking. And he says, yeah, I learned all of my Black history from you guys because you made us read about certain things and then you would question us. So a lot of it was just beautiful to see how my kids had seen different things that happened in my house.
Yeah, you know, that has to have been, you know, a wonderful kind of confirmation of the things you did. And, you know, and I think parents, you know, that's the one thing I think that parents can really take from your book is that there are so many things that you do as a parent on a daily basis that you don't really necessarily give second thought, but it
right.
really makes a lasting impression on your child. And so it kind of, and so anyway, that was one of the things I think as parents reading your book, I think it will give them a little bit of insight and maybe awareness of some of those memories or moments that they're creating in their child.
Right, and that's the one thing I said. The best thing you can give your children is good manners and good memories. And when they have those memories to look back on, and sometimes you don't even know, and which is, you know, what I'm saying with the book, that I didn't know that they viewed certain things the way they did. And the fact that I was able to leave that impression, that makes me feel so wonderful.
It does, I'm sure. Now, one other thing, I'm going to kind of go through a couple of the chapters. Now, the first one I actually really want to kind of stress and really start with, and it's, I'm your mama, not your friend. Boy, I think in today's environment, there are a lot of parents out there who really try to be friends to their children and really kind of don't set up that parent-child role. So, you know, with that, I mean, how important is that in raising your children?
Well, you know, the thing is, as they say, the proof is in the pudding. Look at what we're dealing with now as far as our children. We have mm-hmm. parents that go out and party with their daughters, and then when things happen, they want to have a voice. You can't have it both ways. I am the mother first and foremost, and you're going to learn not only by what I say, but you're going to learn by looking at what I do.
Yeah.
I have to set the example. And not only am I setting the example for my daughter, but for the friends that she bring into my home. But
yeah.
we don't do that. We want our kids to like us. Your kids don't have to like you. That's not
yeah.
a prerequisite for being a parent. They will always love you, but what they have to do is respect you.
Yeah.
But you have to not demand it. You have to command it in the way that you are with them. You cannot be friends to a 12-year-old or a 16-year-old and then turn around and have ground rules because you already gave that up because you wanted
yeah.
to be friends.
Yeah, that, you know, that's very true. And I loved you had in there like three rules. Rule one, I'm the parent. I make the rule. Rule two, you are the child. You follow the rules. Rule three, any problems, refer to rule one. You know?
Well, that's true.
So it's kind of like, that's it.
That's it. It's no second guessing who's in charge.
Yeah, very
and
much.
And, you know,
so.
I have people all the time that come to me and they talk about things like, well, my daughter dresses this way and I don't know what to do. And I always question, does she have a credit card and does she have a car? Well, no. Okay, so how does she get to the stores and where's the money coming from to buy the questionable clothes?
Right. There you
That's
go.
That's the end
I
of
bet,
it right there.
I bet they kind of stop in their tracks on that one, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, even they'll go further and say, well, they'll take things to school and change. Yeah, but the school, the doors are not locked. One of the things you do is I call it a drive-by. It's okay to do a drive-by. You think something might be going on, show up at your kid's school once a week. You don't even
uh-huh.
have to do it that often. You only have to catch them one time, and that's the end of that.
I love that. Yeah, you know that.
Yeah, it's okay
you know, that,
to be a parent. I think people
yeah.
are afraid now to parent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you
okay.
mean.
Okay.
Yeah. yeah. Yeah, it is. Now, one of the things that I also in that particular section that I really liked and I thought it was really interesting was you have something called the cookie contracts. With cookie boundaries. Now, you know, I found that one to be really interesting because it deals with the idea of making certain things forbidden, you know, and how children react to that. So if you wouldn't mind, I'd love for you to share with the listeners cookie contracts.
Well, the thing is, I've been in homes where certain things are hidden away from kids because they're not allowed to do this or have this. And my thing is the cookie jar should sit right on the counter where it's accessible at all times, but it's only accessible to you at the times allotted because that's your contract. You have two cookies in the afternoon or you have whatever. And the thing is, if you expect your kids, you have to teach them, I'm trying to think of how to say this, but you have to teach them that I trust you to do what's right. So
mm-hmm.
if I tell you to get two cookies, I don't expect you to go and get five or six.
uh-huh.
And then you sit, you put it there, and you watch. And
yeah.
usually whatever you sow into children, that's what you get out of them. You really
yeah.
do. Because when they know, my mom expects the best of me. She expects me to behave in a certain way. That's exactly what they're going to do, for the most part. Now, I have
yeah,
to modify that, for the most part.
For the most part. Well, yeah, and that's
part.
The thing. Yeah, that's the thing. You kind of also have to be flexible in a way, you know. And particularly,
oh, yeah.
I would think when you have as many children as you had under your care, both birth and foster, that it's really important to be sensitive to the individual needs of each
right,
child.
Right, because every child is different. Every single child is different. And when you're dealing with foster children, they come in with so many problems, and they have been denied so many things that your kids, you know, is just a part of how they live. And it's so interesting to see when they come in and they realize that the refrigerators don't have locks on it and that there's actually food every day. And the thing is, when they come in, not to make them ashamed of some of the things that they're naturally going to do because they don't know that there's going to be food the next day, or they don't know that, you know, it's a continuation. But just the beauty of watching it sink in and them look around and then say, okay, so I'm going to do what everybody else is doing here because I'm being treated just like everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, nobody is calling me out that I just came here, and nobody is, and oh my God, I'm you know, I'm being treated just like everybody else. And they don't say I'm a foster kid. They just say, hey, that's my new daughter or my new, you know. So
yeah,
it's just, it's a beautiful thing to watch that happen with children.
Yeah, very much so. And, you know, I'm going to, I selected two, one Mama's Mojo and one son from, or one comment from your son, Andre, in that section to kind of highlight for the listeners, you know, what it's about. Like, for example, in that particular section, a Mama's Mojo comment was under the congregation of expectations. This was kind of like when talking to children and discipline. Look at your children square in the eye when you make rules and requests. This is no time to be wishy-washy. Speak strong. Don't scream. Ask them to repeat what you said so there's no problem later with what went down. And then this one I loved. Listen up. If your kids always agree with everything you say, you've got another problem. They either don't care what you say or that you're not asking enough of them. And I looked at that and thought, wow, you know, I would never have thought that. I would have thought I just had an agreeable child.
Oh, no. Children are so much smarter than we are.
Dang, that goes to show my parenting skills. Well, but that's,
no,
you know, but it is
so
very true.
Smarter. Yeah. The thing is, they're not going to agree with everything you say. And guess what? They're not supposed to agree with everything you say. And everything you say cannot be written in stone.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah. You've got,
yeah,
there has
so.
To be a flexibility there at times. The crime, the punishment has to, what they say, fit the crime. And sometimes, even though you think it does, it doesn't. And you have to be woman or man enough to say, hey, you know, I really shouldn't have done what I did, or I really shouldn't have grounded you, you know, for that many days or whatever. And you have to know when to tell your children you're sorry and that you apologize for stuff, because that lets them know that it's okay to be wrong sometimes.
Yeah, well, that's good. Again, it's leading by example that you're saying. Yeah.
Right.
Now, in that particular section, again, like I mentioned earlier, you had occasional comments from your kids. And the one that was in that section, Andre said, I noticed that if my wife says something over and over, my kids know by the second time she is not going to do anything. They've got her number. They stopped listening because they figured she was all talk, but it's never too late to change. So, you know, and I thought that was really, you know, first of all, I think it's wonderful that Andre, you know, took that lesson, you know, from you and is now kind of applying it to his family organization and kids.
Yeah, it's amazing that sometime when things go down in his house or at Chris's house, and Chris will say to his wife, you better do some of that Rose Rock stuff.
Is that right? How funny.
Oh, goodness. That, so I guess, you know, it did reach out, and it is long term.
Yeah, that's great. Now, you have one section called No Child Really Likes to Be Left Alone. And in that section, you talk a lot about, you know, why children kind of want the parent there. And also in that one, you talk a bit about structure and discipline. And, you know, During that section, you were talking about an example of a child doing something that the parent didn't want them to do, and the parent kind of slapping them on the hand, and how that really doesn't teach the child, you know, the best way of not doing that. Kind of like, you know, you talk about the punishment fitting the crime. I mean, it seems to me that when I read your book that you're very strong on the idea that any kind of physical discipline, you know, that there are better ways sometimes of dealing with, you know, behavioral types of issues rather than physical discipline.
Yeah, there's always a better way. And that's not to say that I'm not a spanker, and that even with my grandchildren. But I would much rather spank a child. And when I say spank, that's like two or three swats on the butt, and you've got to sit for X amount of time. Than I've seen parents yell and say the most horrendous things to children. Words never, ever go away. If you tell me over and over, I'm no good, or I'm a piece of this and that, or I wish you weren't born, those words come back over and over to a child. But if your child does something and you grab them and you swat them on the behind and you sit them down, and 5 minutes later you come in and you give them a big hug and you talk about what went down, that sticks.
Yeah.
That sticks.
Yeah, I understand
that. Structure, and if children have structure, they don't need that much discipline. As long as they know what they're supposed to do and what's expected of them, and you are consistent.
Yeah,
but you've got to be consistent.
Yeah.
If you say, come in, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
If they have a rule, like my kids would get home a few minutes before me in the afternoon, the rule was you came in the house, you were not allowed to go back out, you were not allowed to open the door, your snacks were already prepared, whatever. If you know what you're supposed to do and you don't have to wonder about it, then that's what you're going to do. But we have children, they have no chores, they have no stability because they do exactly what they want to do. So when those kids get into difficulty or whatnot, it's because nobody cared enough to say, you're not allowed back out until I'm home. Or even if I'm home, you're not allowed in this house or that house. This is the only house that I've already checked out that you may visit. We don't do that anymore. I ask parents all the time, do you know your child's best friend's cell phone number? And do you know the first and last name of their parents, and do you have their home address and their phone number? And 9 out of 10 people don't have that. So how is your child allowed to go to this person's house and you don't know who they are?
Yeah. Especially in today's environment when you have, cell phones and social media, I mean, you just never know who is out there. Wow. That's
really
amazing.
Bad.
Now, it is. Now, I have to ask this. I mean, you know, in the news is the Adrian Peterson and the you know, punishing of his child with a switch. You know, there is such an uproar about that. You know, and it's interesting because I think personally, it really generated a discussion. You know, a discussion of discipline and that kind of thing. Do you have any opinion on the ruckus that's been kind of going around about that?
But you know what happened that really kind of upset me, because a lot of people said, "Oh, it's a black thing. That's how black people discipline their children. It's okay because that's how black people do it." No. I grew up, I'm a baby boomer. I'll soon be 70 years old in a couple of months. We were spanked. We were whipped. I'm going to say whipped because my dad and my mom had a belt. But there was never a whelp on us. There was never a bloody track. There was never anything. We just got whamped really, really hard a couple of times, and we were told what we could do for the rest of the day, which was nothing. Or if my mom really wanted to put fear, the fear of God in us, all she had to say was, wait until your daddy got home. Now, we were paralyzed for the rest of the day. Of course, now most kids don't have a daddy to come home. But this guy, to beat a four-year-old, that was the first thing, a four-year-old child.
Yeah.
What in
the
world could a four-year-old child do to warrant that type of beating?
I know.
Because I remember getting spanked as a child. I never got a whipping, so to speak, until I was like preteen and really being very, very naughty. And even then, like I say, there was never a mark on us.
Yeah.
So I take offense to the fact that we're making this a black thing, and this is how black people punish their kids, which that's a punishment. That wasn't discipline.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
in the world could a four-year-old do that you would beat them bloody?
Yeah,
it makes no sense.
No, I agree. You know, and to me, when I saw, you know, the whole idea was a black thing, I'm like, you know, to me it just made no sense. I mean, it was trying to create a myth, you know, of what, you know, punishment is like in the black community, which was ridiculous, you know, to begin with. And
that was,
and you know,
that
is, yeah.
That's not true. And I grew up in the South where people did send you to get your own switch. But I don't remember anybody's legs bleeding or anything like that, because all they had to do was hit you twice with that switch. It stings so bad, you didn't ever want her to, you know, want to get hit again. So
I agree.
That.
And that whole, like you talked about, you know, being a four-year-old too. To me, it's, you know, I have found when I've just been out, even like Walmart or just any of the stores, and I've seen parents interact with their young children, and sometimes they just get real upset, loud, you know, just get, I mean, they shame, you know, their child in public, and it's for being a kid. You know what I mean? It's like, come on, you know, the kid is, you know, they're like 2, 3, 4 years old. I mean, give them a break. I mean, you know, so to me, it's just crazy. I think we've really lost sight of, you know, the children. We expect them sometimes to be young adults, which they're not.
Yeah, they're not that. And the thing is, too, what you do if you're taking your child out, you have a talk before they get in the car. This is what I would do. This is a looking day, not a buying day, and you look with your eyes and not with your hands. We get in the car. When I get to my destination, guys, what did Mommy say? Oh, Ma, you said this is a looking day. We're not buying anything today. Good. And how do you look? With our eyes and not with our hands. When we get in the store, it's said for the third time, you understood that? You have no problem. There's no problems. But
that's great. I liked that.
Yeah. I walked into TJ Maxx one day. And remember, children are literal. Be careful what you say to them, especially when they're small. I walked into TJ Maxx. A young lady was putting her child in the seat on the shopping cart. And she said to him, and he listened, she said, if you're quiet and you let me pick up a couple of things, when we get to the toys, I will let you buy a toy. And he sat up, and he was so attentive, and he didn't say a word. But as they're walking through the store, someone had put a kiosk of toys in the middle of the aisle. Now, what did she say? She said, when we get to the toys. Not when we get to the toy department, not that a child would understand the difference. So when they got to the toys, he sat up in that cart, and he was all ready. And she said, no, when we get to the toy department. Now he starts to scream, and she starts to get agitated, and she starts to fuss, and ended up with him screaming and her leaving the store. And I wanted to stop her and say to her, quite frankly, and I mean, and this is for all young mothers who are listening, if you come in the store, what you should do is go to the toy department first. Pick 2 sturdy toys. Throw it in the shopping cart. I guarantee you can do all your shopping, and when you get ready to leave, they probably won't even want the toy.
Right.
So had she just taken a toy from that kiosk and put in his hands and go about and do her shopping. But she
yeah.
chose to make it a battle, and you don't do that with young children.
Yeah.
They don't know. They don't know.
Yeah. Plus, you talk about honoring what you say. I mean, that's really important because it's really teaching the child. I mean, if, you know, if mm-hmm. you say, be good, and I'll get you a toy, and you're good, and they don't, I mean, it's mm-hmm. like, well, heck, you know, what my mama says doesn't mean anything because, you know, she
right.
doesn't follow through. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And you have to honor your children because they are such a gift. You've got to honor them.
I agree. I agree. Well, gosh, we're halfway through the show already. It's just flying by, Rose. So I'm going to take just a short break. And if anyone mm-hmm. would like to call in and ask Rose any questions, feel free to call in. The number is 619-789-4359. And also, if you're listening live in the chat room and you would like for me to pose a question to Rose, feel free to type it in, and I will be sure to ask her. And then after the break, Rose, when I come back, you know, a few of the topics that I want to kind of move into is wipe your mouth out before you come into the house. You are whatever you answer to. And also, you know, I want to talk a little bit about, again, the good memories, because I think that was a very important section of your book. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, great. Okay, everyone, stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break.
Hi, it's Maya at Mind Over Matter in Nyack, New York. I'd just like to take a moment to share with you how amazing I found Robert Sharpe's book, Joy Potential. It kind of found me at a time when I was feeling out of sorts and overwhelmed and I guess derailed by the pressures of my career and my large family and caregiving and ailing husband. I just really felt like my spark was dimming. It was a perfect time for me to pick up Joy Potential. Because as I, just in the first few pages, began to read, I found that my frame of mind wasn't so different from others dealing with challenges and the trials and tribulations of life. I guess my first feeling was that I wasn't alone. And with that, I began to open more to receive the message that Robert gave of light and love and positive thinking. That's what Joy Potential is all about. His thoughts are beautifully written, and everyone, whether you're going through your own personal challenges, should read it. His message was certainly well received from me, and I'm thankful for his insight and his caring and really helping me to get back on track. I think everyone should put Joy Potential on the top of their reading list. Love and light. Thank you.
Join Maya and discover that you are not alone and that a world of joy awaits you. To get your copy of Joy Potential, visit www.joybook.me. Buy it, read it, and start living a life that's happier, more peaceful, and one where you maximize the joy potential that life has to offer. Again, visit www.joybook.me. That's joybook.me now.
This is Roy Worley at mysticalship.com. R.T. Sharpe has done it again. His new book, It's No Secret, Spirituality Bites, with Bite, B-I-T-E, being an acronym for Bringing Inspiration to Earth, has once again hit a home run. Unlike R.P. Sharpe's first book, Joy Potential, which was a uniquely original story containing a message of hope and inspiration for everyone regardless of where they happen to be on their personal spiritual path, It's No Secret is a compilation of awareness, insights, guidance, and wisdom that can help anyone navigate through their lives on a daily basis. It's No Secret also contains resources and references that enable a person to find expanded information on a variety of issues that affect all of us. Order It's No Secret today. I guarantee it will be a valuable resource for help with whatever your needs are.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, thank you to Roy for the testimonial for my new book, Spirituality Bites, and also Maya for the Joy Potential testimonial. And for those of you listening, if you go to www.joybook.me, right on the front page is a video where I am interviewed by Rose Rock, excuse me, and Cecil Chandler and Caroline and Company. That's where I met Rose, and it was a whole lot of fun. So, again, you go to joybook.me. The video was right there, again, and I appreciated them having me on. Rose Rock was the guest co-host during that particular segment. So, again, today my very special guest is Rose Rock, and she is author of Mama Rock's Rules, 10 Lessons for Raising a Houseful of Successful Children. And again, her book is available through Amazon.com, and I do have a direct link to her book there in the show page description. And if you are a parent or you know of someone who is a parent, definitely pick up a copy. It is loaded with a whole bunch of very useful, practical tips for raising children. So, okay, with that, we're back, Rose.
Okay.
Okay, great. Well, I had to laugh. When I got to the chapter about wipe your mouth out before you come into the house, I thought, huh, now that's interesting. You know, and I mean, it was funny because, you know, I mean, Chris with his comedy routine is sometimes.
Oh,
like,
yes.
As I was reading that, I'm thinking, what was Mama thinking about that? So, but in that particular chapter, though, you really talk about how important it is to instill respectful and lively communications with your children. And so if you wouldn't mind, can you talk a little bit about, you know, what your mama's rule was when it came to, you know, wiping out your mouth before you come into the house?
Well, first of all, it didn't only deal with saying curse words.
Okay.
It dealt with saying disrespectful things or saying bad things to each other. Like in my house, stupid was a bad word. We didn't call each other things like that. So it was whenever you're in my house, you had to speak encouragement and you had to speak into somebody's life. You cannot come in and be disrespectful or say hurtful things. It wasn't allowed. In my house, my kids were not allowed to use the word can't. That was also a dirty word. So it did not have that much to do with saying bad words, because they just, that was something they didn't do anyway. But don't come in my house with a negative attitude. Don't come in my house and say anything that is going to bring somebody down. We're always there to encourage each other.
Yeah, that was really important. And you really stressed during, you know, in that particular chapter, you know, that names do hurt. You know, that words carry a powerful message to a child, especially.
Especially to a child. So, yeah. I mean, and people can say some horrible things to their own children that they carried in their body and they gave birth to, and that I still don't understand. But, I mean, it's done every day. And when you do that to a child, you demean them, you belittle them, you cut them to the quick. So,
Yeah, I agree.
And I think home is supposed to be a haven. You're supposed to be able to walk in that door and know that nothing can hurt you, no matter how
horrible
it is.
Keeping it a very safe place for the child. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I also had to laugh. In that particular section, your son Kenny said in one of his little comments to the side, you could never talk to my mama like somebody on the street, not in our house. You could never talk any way you wanted in our house. So it seemed like he took that to heart.
Oh, yeah. Even today he says that. No. You know, I'm in homes where children are allowed to speak to their parents any way they want to. I mean, very disrespectful or whatever. And the thing in my house, and I mean in my father's house too, no matter how old I was always his daughter. No matter what, I was always his daughter. And so when my children come to my house, they are my children. It doesn't matter that they're in their 40s or whatever. So the way they would talk to their friends or whatever, they're not allowed to talk to me like that. And they're not even allowed to talk to each other, even now, in any type of disrespectful manner, not in my house.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, it's important. And you know, that's one thing I think that today's parents can really learn a lot from is instilling that.
Yeah, I think it's so important. And the same thing is that I would not dare speak to them in certain, you know, in a disrespectful manner.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I only have one comment. You had a chapter called Feed Them and They Will Tell You Everything. And the main comment I took from that is I have a little sticky on the smothered chicken and the sweet potato pie recipe. my mouth was watering as I was reading the recipes. It was funny.
Goodness.
They were great. So one of the chapters I think that it's really important, and it comes, you know, kind of deals with the idea of, you know, supporting the self-esteem in the child, is that you are whatever you answer to. You know, and in that particular one, I loved one of the first comments was, you know, in the strategies was, don't quack like a gangsta duck unless you are a gangsta duck, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But in that particular one, it seems that what you're trying to stress in the child is that however they feel about themselves and however they respond is who they are and who they'll become.
Right. You know, the thing is, I always tell my kids, look at the five people that you hang around with. That's what you're going to be. So if you look at them and they're not doing anything positive, pretty soon all of your positivity is going to be gone because you want to conform to what they're doing. With young ladies, guys say the most horrible things, and if somebody says the B word and you turn around, what is that saying about you? So you are what you answer to. Only you know who you want to be. And you have a right to be. If you want to be that princess, then you walk and you act like a princess, and guess what? Everybody's going to treat you like one. But if you walk around and you look like a questionable whatever in order to be in this group, then whatever they say about that group, that's what they're going to say about you. And for young women, I'm more concerned with them than I am with the young men, because one thing about men down through the ages, you can shower, shave, and put on a suit and be called Mr. But a woman, once you get a reputation, no matter what you do, you're going to be whatever you've led people to believe you are. And so with young women, they have to be taught at an early age, and that's where dads come in, that you are a princess and that you are the greatest thing and that, you know, that you're just this fantastic person. And when you get that inside of your very psyche, that's who you're going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, and the dad's saying, you're not going out looking like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. Now, one of the things also, too, you talk about in that section, and it was about busting the media myth, you know, talking about media. And, you know, that seems to be a particularly important issue. You know, like we talked about earlier, you know, the whole idea, you know, the media labeling the Adrian Peter thing as a black thing. I mean, it's like the media portrays a certain culture or, you know, race as being something, you know, basically stereotyping. And is that pretty much where you're talking about busting the media myth?
Not only that, the thing is this, the media has bombarded our children with so much. I mean, we have MTV and BET and all of these stations that make our children think that they have to be a rapper and they have to treat women and disrespectful manners, and that young women don't have to wear clothes, and that you can just say in a video any horrible, filthy word, and as long as the beat is good, you're supposed to jump up and dance to it. And that whole thing has just bombarded not only the black community. At first, I thought it was the black community, but I mean all of our kids. And my thing is this. I go and I speak sometime, and people say, well, you can't stop your kids from doing this, and they're exposed to this, and they're exposed to that. And the thing is, and kids are different these days. You can't raise kids the way they used to be raised because they're different. And my argument is kids are no different today than they were in 1920, in 1950, in 1990. They're the same kids. Yes, they are exposed to more. But guess what? That's where parents come in. I remember my grandmother had an old sifter, and I know I'm aging myself. A sifter was something you put the flour in because the flour used to be coarse and not really light. And when you wanted to bake a cake, you put 2 cups of flour in the sifter, and on the handle it had a little thing that you squeeze, and the refined flour came out. Well, that's the same thing. Our children, the media is dropping all this stuff in them, and it's up to us as parents to sift it and to let them keep whatever is positive, and if it's nothing positive, they don't keep anything. But to sift what they are bombarded with all day. Nelly made a video some years ago where he literally took a credit card and swiped it on a young lady's behind.
Oh, no.
I thought that was the most horrendous thing I had ever, ever seen in my entire life. But people liked it. Oh, they just, oh, my God. Oh. But when it comes to young people, we have to talk to them, and you got to be open with them and talk to them about this stuff that they see. No young woman should go out dressed like that. No, that is not the norm. No, you can be so many things other than a rapper or a sports figure or whatever. If we don't shake our children up and let them know that the world is such a fantastic place that affords them opportunities to do so much more than that, and so many positive things, because I'm sorry, and I might get called on this, I see nothing positive in the rap community other than the fact that it's some people making money.
Uh-huh.
But what's positive about it?
Yep.
I just don't see it.
I'm with you there. You know,
in the new part, because I'm gonna digress and go back, because the old rappers that came, I would guess, in the 70s, they started rapping about things that were happening in the community. I think it was Melly Mel, because I keep thinking that's his name. Don't Push Me Because I'm Close to the Edge. That, to me, was these people, when we stopped marching, they started rapping the stuff that we had left unsaid. And then as soon as this new breed came in, all of that was gone because nobody wanted to hear the truth.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have to rap. You don't want you to rap about a building full of roaches and rats and the landlord lives in Long Island. No, that's not good. Let's just talk about raping women and doing other stuff, you know?
I just thought that was ridiculous.
It's a message. And you send it out to these young people, and they don't have anybody. The mentors are not there. The community is not there. The village is long gone. We have grandmothers now that are in their 30s. I mean, it's a whole new world, and the children bear the brunt of all of that.
Yeah, very much so. And, yeah, I'm with you there. Now, one of the you talked a little bit about earlier about how, you know, certain words, I can't, and that kind of thing, were like bad words or words not to be used. And you have a really wonderful section called Push Unable off the table.
Off the table. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and in that particular one, you know, one of the things I loved is that you talked about failure should be used as an ultimate motivator. You know, and in today's society, you know, failure is just, it's so stigmatized. And I mean, and even in sports, with, you know, with young, you know, sports, I mean, it's like everybody gets a ribbon, you know, I mean, so it's kind of, I mean,
isn't that
I understand,
sad? Isn't that so
yeah.
sad? Yeah.
It is. And, you know,
yeah.
and what it does is it really, it doesn't prepare, in my opinion, it doesn't prepare the child for eventual failures, which happen all the time.
All the time. I'm telling you, I thought that was the dumbest thing I ever heard. Oh, nobody gets struck out. How can you not get struck out if you're playing a game? You get struck out. I just thought, oh, this is crazy. We have absolutely gone crazy. But failure is just a setup for success. Every time you fail, learn from it. Take away a lesson. You lose, but don't lose the lesson, because there's a lesson in every failure. In every failure, there's a lesson. And that's the thing. Now nobody wants to fail. And if you don't fail, the only way you're not going to fail is you don't try. So it's easier not to try, not to do anything. And we have a whole group of people that do nothing.
We sure do. We sure do. And also part of that is to forget the blame game. Blame failures on everything from, you know, where I live to my parents to, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, now, you know, I say what I want to say, so I'm going to say this. Black people, for the longest, they, especially when I first moved south, everything was a white man. The white man did this. I said, God, if I could buy a little white man and put it in everybody's house, so they would have something to just look at when they're blaming. Because one thing you have to understand, black is a color. Black is not a condition. It's only a color. It has nothing to do with what you can or cannot do.
Yep.
Nothing whatsoever. People who succeed are people who work. Most people don't succeed because it comes looking like work. And if I got to work for it, I don't want it. And then you're mad with the people who get out there and do the hard work and get it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's very interesting. I've seen that, you know, and I have seen where, you know, you're an author, and I've written a couple of books. Now, there are people, and I'm sure you had this, like when you wrote a book, oh, I've always wanted to write a book, you know, that's something, you know, and they will never do that, you know what I mean, because it takes discipline to sit down and do that. And,
do it.
You know,
it takes years. They don't have the years to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Len, I had one friend who I was going through the process of looking at publishing, self-publishing, all that kind of thing, and he was going through his at the same time. So we kind of shared information. Then when it came to the time for me, I decided to self-publish, did that. After that period, boom, didn't hear a word from him. I mean, he still hasn't published his book, you know what I mean? But it's like, I thought, you know, it was just very interesting. All of a sudden, you know, moving forward with what I was doing seemed to not sit well with him, you know, because, I mean, he wasn't doing it. Anyway, I just thought it was very odd.
Yeah, but that's the way it happens. You know, I saw my son sent me an interview a few weeks ago from Snoop Dogg, which I always thought was this guy. But then I kind of knew because he was with his childhood sweetheart. I said, well, he probably had a mama. And he's probably, this is all his persona that he's putting on, which I found out was true. But anyway, the thing with him, he said, is that when he made it, he wanted to bring all his friends along. And they wanted to come along, but they didn't want to work for it. And at some point, he had brought them as far as he could bring them, and they didn't put forth any effort. And he was putting out the money and getting them the space and doing everything, and they were putting out no effort. And he realized, he said, every time I reach to pull them up, I'm at a point where I could get pulled back down. Because you can't bear that weight of everybody. And that's why sometimes when you start moving ahead, you have to do the math. Who is in this with me and who's bringing something to fortify me to keep going, even if it's just a good word or a cup of coffee or keep going or I got your back, who's just there to be there to see if I make it so I can do something for them. And at some point, you have to let go.
Yeah,
you have to totally let go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah, I agree.
Have to.
Yeah, well, you know, we're down to 5 minutes here, Rose.
Oh,
so
my God, this went so fast.
It did. It's been so much fun. But I just want to let listeners know of a couple of things. One of your chapters is called Don't Lie Down with Anything You Don't Want to Live With Forever.
Which is
they can
a
imagine.
Chapter.
It is a chapter. But anyway, so that is a fun one, a very fun one to read. Also, as we mentioned, you know, earlier in the show, you know, you had the chapter on good memories are the best things that you can give your children besides good manners. Yeah, you know, and your son Brian had a wonderful comment in there about, you know, his memory of your favorite traditional Christmas breakfast and all of that kind of thing. And so that was really wonderful. And then the final chapter that you have is called Spirituality is not just for Sundays. And you talk about how important it is in instilling, you know, a strong spiritual framework for children so that when things get rough, that they it'll be there for them.
Always.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the best thing you can give your child is to let them know that this is not a pie in the sky God. This is not, you know, something for some other time. This is your daily walk to show them by example how they can get that relationship, and they'll never be alone.
Yeah, very much so. And you know, one section under there that I really loved is that you talk about celebrating nature is like saying a prayer. Now, I love nature. I mean, I take pictures of nature all the time. And I showed up in our chat room is Patricia Joins, a good friend on Facebook, who has taken some of my photos and matched them to quotes from my book. And she does a wonderful job on them. But in that kind of thing, I mean, celebrating nature is so important. Important. And I loved that you said that Jordan was a moon child.
Moon child. Yes, I call him sometimes. He lives in New York now, but if the moon is full, I will definitely make a call and say, go outside. And then I tell him, isn't it beautiful that you are hundreds of miles from me and we are looking at the same moon?
Yeah, you know, and that's wonderful. And, you know, and I think one of the important messages in there that you also talk about is, you know, children who are respectful of nature and animals, you know, are going to be also respectful of people as well.
True.
Well, Rose, we're down to the last couple of minutes. This has been so much fun, and I really
it
enjoy
it. It has been. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to just run my mouth.
Well, that's great. I, like I said, I have had a lot of fun. I truly, truly did love reading your book, Mama Rocks Rules. I think what I loved most about it is that it's very practical information that parents can use, you know, every day. And also it stresses the respect for both parent and child, you know, and that's so much needed right now.
It is definitely needed, and especially mothers need to realize that being a mother is the highest honor God conferred to a human being, that you have the ability to sustain life, to bring forth a whole nation. And I don't think our young women know just how blessed they are.
Yeah, very much. I just have to let you know before I close, Rose, we have a couple people in the chat room who have made a couple of comments. Jennifer from Illinois said, Mama rocks, my type of woman. And then we have another woman, Sharon, wrote, wow, Chris rocks, Mama rocks. Hey, I was just thinking the same thing. He was lucky to have such a great mom. So anyway, I just wanted to share those positive comments
Thank you so much.
Well, it is my pleasure. And again, I really appreciate you taking the time to be with me.
Thank you for having me. I really, really enjoyed it. And just all the best to you.
Thank you, and to you as well. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Rose Rock, and she is author of Mama Rock's Rules, 10 Lessons for Raising a Houseful of Successful Children, and that she has. So, again, her book is available from Amazon.com, and again, I do have a direct link to her book there in the show page description. So, everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again, thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.